Next, I'm going to take a couple of data portal questions. This is a question from Ann Merwin. Can you give us examples of some of the new data and information that was generated as part of this planning process and why you think it's important for purposes of ocean management to generate it?
Yeah, thanks, Ann. So like I said before, the marine life data is and the habitat data is unprecedented. This is a new source of information across the region, again, for 150 different species. So that is, as I've said, the building blocks for this whole thing. And there are new, as I described, there are summary products that we created that give it a regulatory and ecological and a sensitivity and stressor flavor. Those are new. Those are really important because that makes this information useful, and that's what this plan is all about. Other examples I'd probably give for this is fishing, the VMS data that I showed you in terms of teasing the VMS out in terms of what's fishing, what's transiting. That's a value add. That's a new thing with this plan. Let's see, you know, shipping is key and getting those updates frequently from the Coast Guard is going to be key, and putting that, you know, obviously in context with other data is the power of this plan. And then I just mentioned all the recreational information that's brand new. We did a significant recreational boating survey in 2012, and all the other interest groups that I mentioned just a moment ago, different methodologies used for a number of those depending on what was most appropriate. So a lot of really new, exciting work was done that we'd like to continue. And really, we also want to, as Grover stated, we're trying to build on work done in the states, particularly in Rhode Island and Mass, where they have those pieces in place. Thank you for the question.
So I think, Betsy, I think that you have addressed this, but just in case you want to say anything else about it, Katie Morgan is asking who you envision the data portal being used by, general public, private sector companies seeking permits, or all of the agencies or all of the above, and can you give examples of how you think the portal will be useful to each of these groups?
Yeah, really good point, because it underscores the point that this is transparent and open to the public. Please, everybody use it. So that's the short answer. So it's public. The plan obviously contains federal agency commitments to use it. So there are very specific agencies that we have that have put commitments in there about how they will use what kind of maps. The private sector companies, absolutely. When they're considering how or where to do something in the water, they need to go look at the portal as a first blush. This should be very helpful in terms of, showing folks where the big red flags might be. So they come in with a proposal that might be a little bit more accommodating or compatible with what else is going out there. There's a good example, Salem State. Proposed a blue mussel process project off of Cape Ann, and you know, we haven't finished the plan yet, but they knew about the plan, they knew about the data portal, and they went in and they used some North Atlantic right whale data as part of their biological assessment for their ESA, their Endangered Species Act consultation. Now this project hasn't been built yet, but there's a good example of a proposer, a developer, that found great value in just seeing what the context was for their proposed use. And then finally, I'll just say, you know, this really gets at keeping the general public engaged. The portal is going to be a really important source of information when something is going on offshore that you want to comment on. It gives the public, again, the context, the ammunition, the better questions to ask because you can see the picture of what currently exists in that space. So, the answer is all of the above and in different ways. And again, going into the implementation, we're going to be test driving this. We want to know how useful the portal is to the general public or any of those other audiences. So that's the kind of feedback that we're going to want to get so that we can keep this information platform really user-friendly and apply directly to how you all want to engage.
All right, thanks. So give me just a moment. I need to see what else is coming in the queue. Just 1 minute. So we've got a national security question. This is from Heather Goldstone again. So, Joe, stand by. I think you're the best person to field this one. Any concern about compromising national security by making military presence and useless publicly available.
Yeah, Heather, thanks for the question. I guess the short answer is no. We're not really concerned about that part of it because the level of detail that we're looking at here is not such that it would compromise that level of national security. What I will tell you is it actually helps. All this early coordination does help because it helps us, it helps position the folks in DOD to understand what industry interests are out there so that we can identify the projects early, identify who owns those projects, identify the foreign countries that might be involved in those projects. And more importantly, it helps us articulate what our needs are so that we can ensure that we can retain access to those areas that are vital to our training and testing activities.
Thanks, Joe. So I'm going to come back to a couple more questions from Brent Greenfield. The first one is, this morning's Federal Register announcement noted that the details on the specific mechanisms that federal agencies will use to implement the Northeast Ocean Plan will not be made publicly available until the plan is sent to the National Ocean Council for certification, which will be after the public comment period concludes. Why is that information not being provided to the public as part of this final comment period?
Yeah, thanks, Brent, for that question, and glad you found the Federal Register notice and read it. That's terrific. And I encourage everyone else to as well. The answer here is that, first of all, there are a lot of ways in which federal agencies will use this plan that are articulated in Chapter 3. All of those actions are topic by topic and are very specific. And that's what we want you to comment on as well. So please comment on that. The other thing I'll say is really what that's getting at is, to acknowledge that the specific manner and the mechanism that a federal agency uses to implement the plan is going to depend on that agency's mission and authority and activities in the marine environment. So what the federal members of the RPD have done is describe in the plan how they intend to use the ocean data. And what we're alluding to in the Federal Register notice is more administrative mechanisms that agencies will also use to internalize the ocean plan. And we're still working on that because agencies are different. So, for example, NOAA is planning on adopting this plan as agency guidance. That's the way that we do business. That's how we operate, as it is for a lot of other regulatory agencies. But there are other military agencies and other folks that are part of the RPB that have a different way of doing things. So what we're doing is trying to figure out how that makes sense for every agency and use this time to articulate that so that we can be clear on that going forward. But really, that's about administrative mechanisms. It's not about how we're going to use the plan in the way that it's articulated in Chapter 3. So that's what we want your comment on. Stay tuned for the rest of the administrative discussion, but the bottom line is federal agencies are committing to using this plan. We all operate a little differently, and so there isn't one sort of blanket statement or way that a plan can be internalized. We really want to get specific because we're serious about doing it. We want to very specifically lay out how we're going to internalize that into our everyday. We're taking great care and trying to be very thoughtful in the way we do that, and that is why we're alluding to the fact that we're going to be being even more clear and articulate about that going forward in the next short while.
So Brent has a sort of a follow-up part to his question that states some of you may want to add to what Betsy described, in particular as she described the federal agency process, and you heard from Mark as it relates to the Fishery Management Council, but the question is that the announcement also notes that RPD member state and tribal governments and the New England Fishery Management Council are in the process of describing how they will use the plan to guide and inform their actions. When is that process expected to conclude, and when can the public expect to see those descriptions?
Thanks. Grover, are you on? Do you want to relay any of the sort of the state dialogue about, you know, how you're working across states to discuss this topic?
Sure. There's actually sort of a set of documents that are out before the states right now that are going back and forth between the states in terms of sort of the sign-on document, if you will, that will embody the state's commitment to this. It's being looked at by all the state entities, both the RPB members for each state, and we hope to have something here within the next month or so that we can actually then attach to the document.